Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Psalm chapter number 18 in the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 18 in the Word of God today. And I just want to say thank you so much for all those who are involved in the music ministry here at Cross Point Baptist Church. We praise the Lord for your time that you put in. And I was here until about 8:30 or 9 o'clock or so, and there were folks in here that were practicing on the piano and the organ, and men giving your time to rehearse and to come in here and to worship. And I just praise the Lord. I just want to tell you publicly, we do praise the Lord that you have given the time to come in. I want you just to pray, continue to pray. Here at Cross Point Baptist Church, as we continue to use kind of common sense and trying with the whole COVID that's over a year and a half now, trying to deal with different mandates and stuff that's going on. We're always praying through. We're allowing people just to kind of use common sense. And you pray for Pastor Chris and others as we continue to plan for the future. And I would put it this way. We're excited one day to have our choir back up here. Somebody help me out. Amen. And to have the orchestra back up. Isn't it funny? I have never heard the choir sing, and I've never heard the orchestra play. And I'm the pastor here. Isn't that amazing? That that's how long it has been. And we're looking for forward to the day when I think it will kind of all make sense, and we feel good, and we're seeking the Lord, and we'll be able to make those decisions. Because I'll be honest, as a pastor, you pray through these things. Everybody has an opinion. You know what I mean? Like, don't look at me like that. You know you have an opinion, what's right, what's wrong. And I'll be honest, during Sunday school this morning, I'm sorry, Brother Harvey, but my watch went off and I looked down, and from a very trusted news source, if there's one out there, I got this notification that said, it doesn't matter if it's 6 feet or 60 feet, social distancing does not work. MIT did a study. Let me just tell you, you read stuff like that and you're thinking, what are we doing? What's going on? It's back and forth, and it's this. We need 60 feet. We need 70 feet. We need this. We need 8 masks. We need 1 mask. We need no mask. I mean, to be honest, it is hard to keep up with what's taking place. And so at Cross Point, we continue to pray that the Lord will guide us. We've kind of given it to individuals. Let's be careful. Let's wash our hands. Let's use common sense. And we're looking forward to the day to having our choir back and to having the orchestra back. But we're just going to continue to sing praise, worship God, put Him first, let the gospel go out. Aren't you thankful that the gospel changes lives? Amen? And that's what we're going to concentrate on. And I know the goalposts keep moving. We'll go back and forth. But through all of that, whether what works and what doesn't work, or whether this vaccine or no vaccine, or to be honest with you, through it all, here's what I am thankful for. That when you and I open up the Word of God, we have something that does not change. Isn't that amazing? We can argue, we can fight, we can go back and forth, and all of us have our opinions. And yes, we have our opinions, and we've made them well known on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and everything else. And even the old telephone, remember those? We used to pick up and call people. We've let it be known what we believe. But I'm here to tell you what really matters to this lost and dying world is what thus saith the Lord. And you and I are going to come in here today, and we're going to open up the Word of God. We're not going to get man's opinion. We're not going to get what Cross Point thinks. We're not going to get, here's what science says. I'm thankful that we can open up the Word of God and read about the God who has always existed, that exists today, and will always exist in His Word. We can get something that we can use and glean from. If you're thankful for that and this Bible, say amen. And I'm trying to get you excited today because, to be honest with you, we're going to read a passage of Scripture here, and some of it gets a little bit it gets a little bit dark, and then we come back up to light, and I trust it's going to be encouraging. And I get to baptize my little girls today, the twins. Are they in here? Nora and Rose. They have been practicing. They've been holding their nose. They've been going back and forth. They've been in the bathtub baptizing each other. And here in about, it's 11:04, so here in about an hour and a half, we're going to put them in the baptistry. Now you're awake. We're going to hear in just a couple of minutes. Get them in. So I'm excited today. I hope that you are. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm chapter number 18 in the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 18. We started laying a foundation here this past week. I know that many of you will have here this inscription. I want you to just skip down and go to verse number 1. Psalm chapter 18. Look with me at verse number 1 and watch what the Bible says. I will love thee, Oh, Lord, my strength and my deliverer, my God, my strength and whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. This morning I'd like to preach a message once again entitled, What God Is to Me. What God is to me. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, Lord, You are worthy to be praised. Thank You, Savior, for the song that these men just sang. I will praise Him. And Savior, through everything that's going on in our life, it is wonderful that we have something to thank You for. Father, starts with salvation, and that's massive. We can praise You for the rest of our lives. But Father, when we begin to think about it, there is so much more that we have to be thankful for, that we can lift our voices. Not just one generation, but all generations in here together, arm in arm, thanking You for being our Savior. Lord, I'm going to pray right now that whatever distraction Satan is going to try to use to distract us from hearing the Word of God, that You'd stop it. Father, we know that forces of evil are working right now on minds, on distractions, concerns, worries. Father, I'm asking today for just freedom to preach what You have put on my heart and study to preach today. God, I'm going to admit I need You this morning. Father, I don't know if others have the feeling, but Lord, if there's one that's in here that's not saved, I just have a feeling that Satan's going to fight. Father, I ask that You'd send a host of angels in here. Father, if there is an evil spirit that's working in pride or bitterness or anger, that Father, we as Your people would confess that right now. Lord, help us to clear the stage this morning and let You be visible. You said in Your word, where two or three are gathered in Your name, there You'll be in the midst. And Father, we need You in our midst. Father, I am crying out to You, be in our midst today. I love You, Lord. Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank You. You may be seated. We've often seen through the ages, many have a God. Even in the Indianapolis area and these counties that surround Indianapolis, many have a God, but there are few that know the one and only true God, the God of the Bible. You see, if we were to ask the question, what is God to you? What would your answer be? If we begin to ask the question, who is God to you? Whether you're sitting in here and you don't know Him, or maybe you do know Him, we ask the question, what or who is God to you? You see, this is a question that Jesus asked His disciples. The Bible puts it like this in the book of Mark. And by the way, He asked His disciples, saying unto them, who do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And He saith, talking about Jesus, unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto Him, thou art the Christ. You see, there are many living today that begin to think about maybe who God is to them. We began to look at last week that isn't amazing. Many in the independent Baptist realm use God as kind of this fire insurance, but that's really about as far as it goes. There are many that use God as a genie in the bottle. And, well, when things are going good, we're not in our Bible. When things are going great, when politics are fine and my candidate's in the White House, and, well, my health is good and bills are paid, and, I'm feeling pretty good. We don't talk to Him like we should. But isn't it amazing that the moment that something goes bad in our lives or our hearts, oh, God, I need You right now. Oh, Lord, wouldn't You help me? Oh, Lord, this doctor called. Oh, Lord, I'm losing my teenage. My grandkids, I lost my keys. Isn't it amazing how many treat God as though He's just this God that's relevant in our life only when we need Him? There are many that spend their days that believe in God maybe, or believe that there is a God out there, but we truly will not know Him or who He is until we leave this world behind and slip into eternity. But friend, let me put it this way. If you are saved this morning, you know God on a personal level. God is not just fire insurance. God is not a genie in the bottle. God is not something that we cannot comprehend. God is living and rules and reigns in the lives of every Christian that has placed their faith and their trust in Him. Therefore, when we ask the question, okay, who is God or what is God to us? You and I have to begin to comprehend, or we have to get this foundation of not just who is God to everybody else, or who do we maybe think that He is to us, but we ought to know without a shadow of a doubt, we know Him, we have a relationship with Him. So what is God to you and I? Well, in the inscription that we skipped over, David is writing here, and he pens this psalm as really a song. It is a song that was written because in 2 Samuel chapter number 22, God had rescued him out of the hands of Saul and out of the hands of his enemies. So he begins to pen these words. They used to sing, and it's still today, they would sing this psalm. And this psalm begins to talk about who God is to David. The amazing thing in God's perfect, inspired, inerrant Word of God, you and I have living today the same God that lived thousands of years ago in David's day. He has not changed. Therefore, what God was to David, God also is in our culture, in our society, in 2021, and on a local church level, a family level, a personal level. This is who God is to you and I. Therefore, as we read these words, I want us to once again concentrate on, number one, if you're taking notes, He is our delight. He's our delight. Look at verse number one here with me and look what the psalmist pens. He says, I will love thee. Remember, the word love here is a word that means to love deeply. It speaks of a tender intimacy. It carries the idea of a mother's love for an infant child. It has this idea of loving so much that you want to be up close to them. You want to perhaps even hug them. It's not being irreverent. It's just comprehending and understanding. It's not a, yeah, I love him. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's cool. It's kind of like a sports team. I really love my sports team. Just comprehend this. It's so much more than that. It is a closeness. It is a wanting to be close to God. And I said it last week. I'm just going to say it again this way. Friend, God does not want to be just this old antique that we admire from a distance. He wants to be close to you and I. There's social distancing with Jesus Christ. He wants to be there more in just a devotion for 5 minutes. He wants to be close to us more than just, well, okay, God, be with me today, and thank you for the food. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. See you tomorrow. No, the God that you and I serve, the God that you and I have living in our hearts, is a God that wants to be close. Watch this very carefully. He wants to be like a father and a child. Rose, do you mind coming up here for just a moment? Do you mind? Are you Rose or Nora? Okay, you're Rose. Come here, girl. Don't be nervous. It's Dad up here. Understand, this is one of my twins here. And Nora, come up here real quick. I don't know if the church has ever really got to see our young girls in here. These girls are getting baptized here a little bit. Give five here, Nora. Now, I know they told their teachers in Sunday school that Dad gets us mixed up often. Look at them. Wouldn't you? Hello? They're identical twins. Understand. Now, watch, girls. Look at me for just a second. I am your dad, right? And I love you, right? That means this. You and I are related. And do you know what we do a lot? What do we do a lot? We hug, don't we? Let's show everybody how we hug. Bring it in. Bring it in. There it is. Now look, everybody. Isn't this cute? Somebody get a picture of this. This is great. Instagram right here. Now watch. This is what God wants to be to us.
Right here.
No, that's being irreverent. No, it's not. When Jesus had his ministry on earth, the Bible says that the disciple whom Jesus loved laid his head on his chest. He loved them. When he would walk up to those who were unclean, those who had diseases, you know, they would walk around and not know what this felt like. And yet the Bible says that Jesus touched them physically. This is the Jesus who you and I serve. Comprehend this. Thank you so much, girls. Hey, let's give him a big hand this morning. Amen. Okay, it's the God that you and I serve. Understand this. When Mary Magdalene encountered the risen Christ, here is what Jesus spoke to her. Jesus saith unto her, listen, one word. Here's all he said. You ready for this? She's encountered, she's crying, she's upset. He's gone forever. And here's what he said. You ready for this? Mary. That's all he said. He said, Mary, dry your tears, Jesus Christ. She knew his voice so well, he spoke one word, Mary. And here's what the Bible says. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Now watch what Jesus says. Jesus says unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended in my Father. But I go to the brethren and say to them, I ascended in my Father, your Father, my God, and your God. Understand that Mary Magdalene, Jesus knew that, hey, look, I don't have my body yet. Don't come. You know what Mary's probably going to do? She was so close that she's going to run. She's going to be excited. She's going to be close to him. We read about the disciples and their first encounter with the risen Savior, the Bible says. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came. Check it out what they did. And they held him by the feet and they worshiped him. My Savior, my God is not a God that sits in heaven and laughs at you and I. And he's not this, as a quote-unquote Hollywood puts them, this bully up there on an anthill. No, the God that you and I serve is a very personal God that loves you and I, and he desires a relationship with you. This is not a God that just, well, okay, God, we'll see you when we get to heaven. No, God desires every day, every minute, he is a jealous God to spend time with you and I. And he said, oh God, I love thee. Let me ask you something. What we love, we spend time with. It's a crying shame in America that pastors across the globe spend more time watching sports and in front of TV and on ESPN and tweeting what they think about their team on Twitter. Let me just put it this way. No wonder our country is in the shape that it's in when we elevate sports higher than we do Jesus Christ. God forbid it ever happened at Cross Point Baptist Church. Let me tell you something, friend. We love our school. I thank the Lord for our school and our teachers. God forbid we ever get to a point. You ready for this? God forbid we ever get to a point. We love basketball and baseball and soccer and sports more than we love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God forbid that ever happened. The moment, friend, that happens, you might as well write Ichabod on the door because it's over. Who is to be exalted? Jesus. He said this, look at verse number one. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He calls God my strength. Nine times in these two verses, David uses the personal possessive pronoun, my. We saw last week that this is many times learned by most children. They say, my toys, my house, my room, my. It's unfortunately many times carried over into adulthood. But what David is doing is expressing the simple childlike faith in a relationship with the Lord. He is telling us that he is totally dependent on the Lord for everything. Every ounce of his strength came from the Lord. Now listen very carefully. It means this. In a day and age when we see see Christians no longer going to church, no longer faithful to the local assembly of ourselves together. In a day and age, we see everything else promoted, and yet everything that has to do with God demoted. Friend, let me put it this way. I just wonder why we're sitting back saying, well, I've just lost the faith. Well, I don't know if God's really moving anymore. Well, we saw back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s in fundamentalism, we'll never see it again. I'm telling you why we're having those thoughts. Because our strength is no longer in God. It is in everything else that we see around us. And friend, I'm just going to say it once again this week. It is high time that you and I as Christians stop putting our faith in CNN and Fox News and the local news channels and Facebook. And it is about time that you and I got our faith back in the book and draw our strength from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I don't know about you, but me is... I say young preacher, but I preached a youth rally on Friday night. That's why my voice is going a little bit. And to be honest with you, I mean, this is a bunch of 16, 17, 18-year-olds. Pastor Chris, I'm kind of getting old, man. Like, I'm 37. Don't laugh at me, brother. Jim, come on, man. I'm getting there. I'm going to have gray hair like you real soon, bro. But let me tell you, as a preacher who's middle-aged, amen, I'm tired of hearing of divorces from God's people. I'm sick and tired of hearing men falling out into sin and having to come out of the pulpits. Tired of it. I'm tired of the wars that are taking place amongst Christians today. And nobody wants to really talk about the real wars that you and I are facing. Friend, if your battle is still whether somebody should wear a tie to church or not, you've totally missed 2021. Our kids are not fighting whether I wear a white shirt or Pastor Chris wears a blue shirt. Let me tell you something. They are fighting transgender. They're fighting gays and lesbians. They're fighting for their mind. Friend, I'm here to tell you, if you haven't taught your kids about pornography lately, friend, you've missed the mark. And we are drawing our strength from pills and doctors and psychiatrists and what science is saying. And I'm just here to tell you, friend, there's some good in all of those. But you know what exceeds that? What excels that is the strength from God Almighty. There's nothing higher than that. Nothing. And he says this, oh, I love the Lord my God. But look at verse number one. He says, oh, Lord, my strength. Let me ask you, where are you drawing your strength from? Because when you draw it from the Lord, there's delight there. But number two, I want you to write this down this morning. He is our dependence. Dependence. Look at verse number two and watch the wording here. The Lord. David allows us to see the heart of worship engaged in the praise of object of love towards who? It's toward God. I'm going to ask you something this morning. Who is the object of our worship to today at Cross Point Baptist Church? You see, oftentimes I fear that we get into this mode of looking at how everybody else worships. Well, I don't know if you heard, Pastor, but the church down the street, they're starting to be involved in this, and they're worshiping this way, and it's just not good, and it's a slippery slope, and it's just that. To be honest with you, friend, everybody else is going to do their thing. Don't you and I have enough to worry about right here at Cross Point Baptist Church and our own families and in our own lives to be worried about what everybody else is putting out there on Facebook? Friend, I'm just telling you, I don't have time to be involved in trying to conduct or pastor every church in this area. We have enough to do, and there is enough lost people, over a million I would say in this area, to reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ than to be worried about how everybody else is worshiping. I think I might amen myself right there, you know what I'm saying? But who's the object of our worship to? You see, honestly, I feel like at times, even as Baptists, we make it about us. Well, Pastor Chris,
I don't know if I really like that last song that the men sang. I mean, it was written in 1991. Do you know what happened in 1991? We were going into Desert Storm. And when I go into Desert Storm, you know, I associate with, oh my mercy. And nobody said that this morning. I'm totally making it up. Let me put it this way. Worship is not about us. It's about Him. The men who sang up here today, we didn't pay them to sing. You know what they were? I think Brother Josh, you were standing right about here. They're just wanting to worship God. Uh-oh. Now, maybe they didn't hit every note just right. You know what, Brother Haybing? I don't know if you'd say you hit every note or you came in at the wrong time or not. Or I noticed one of you, I won't name your name, but you were kind of standing right about here. You were so excited. You almost came in, but you didn't. Let me just tell you something, friend. It's not about us. Every one of these men, do you know why they sang? To the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to put it this way. For all the men who sang in here, I praise the Lord for men that will stand up and sing to God. The Holy Spirit's putting stuff, and you just buckle your seatbelt here for just a moment. Worship, if we're not careful, has become so feminine. It's become so fleshly. Or it has become so, I'm just going to use the word, old-fashioned, that everyone is picking their preference. And if you don't like my preference, well, then you're not worshiping. Can I just tell you this, friend? We've got to concentrate on not what we want to do, but what does thus saith the Lord? What does the Bible have to say about worshiping Him and praising Him and singing? Well, it's kind of a gray area. Well, the Bible has the verses in there that you and I absolutely can run to. Sing with a loud voice, lift up. It lists a ton of instruments. I don't think we ought to have instruments. Well, friend, then you probably don't like the Bible, because there's a lot of instruments that are used to praise and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, what I'm saying is this. Watch out very carefully. If we're not careful, watch. What we begin to do is we begin to associate everything with the way that we want or the way that we feel. Can I'm going to be super careful here. I don't mean to offend anybody. This is just as much to Pastor Shepherd. But when you start bringing feelings into the way that you want things, you and I must rewind a little bit and kind of open up the thing called the Bible and get back to not what we feel or what we think, but what does God say about the issue? And in a world where everybody's aiming their weapons at everybody else, everybody's aiming their weapons at everybody else, we're totally missing the point. The point is to worship Him and Him only. The point is to love Him and exalt Him. The name Jesus ought to mean something to us. Amen? The name Jesus is above every name. I mean, I like the name Thomas. It's in the Bible. Take that. He doubted a little bit, but he totally redeemed himself. We're good, okay? Didymus, it's there. It's Thomas in the Bible. Let me just tell you something. Thomas is not to be exalted above Jesus. And if the day ever comes where you and I are exalting some other aspect of worship more than we are God, we've gotten derailed and we're heading in the wrong direction. Now listen, this is not a Sunday night, but I'm just going to say it. Friend, it could go both ways. We can so fight new, that I'm just telling you, our whole concentration gets over here to where we think that the song has to be written, or we have to do it, or we got to be quiet, or we have to. I'm just telling you something, friend. You know that there were church splits. This is the honest truth, Pastor. There were church splits when some churches went and started putting the words up on a screen instead of opening a hymn book. Can you even imagine standing before God one day, having gone 4 years and not witnessed to a soul, not handed out a tract, never sang in the choir, showed up for church, soaked up what you wanted to, but then caused a church split because of the preference of whether the words were on a screen or whether they were in a book? Friend, I'm just here to tell you, that's not godliness, that's evil. Going okay in here, I think. So read a psalm like this. It's not archaic and old-fashioned. It's the Bible. Who is our worship to be pointed towards? God. And friend, I'm putting it this way, and I haven't heard it. This is not rumblings. Pastor Foe, as God is my witness today, Pastor Chris, we have not talked this past week and had a meeting and, oh, you know, Laura's upset and Carrie's upset and everybody's upset. So, oh, you better preach on it. Okay, woo, let's get a message together. We're going to preach on it. That did not happen. I'm just going to keep preaching Bible and let's keep soaking it up and let's take it out of these doors and share it with the rest of Avon and the surrounding area. You know why? They don't need to see you and I fighting each other over, well, I like this and I like that and I like the brown and I like gray and I like the decorations. To be honest with you, where are the decorations? They were right here. It was beautiful. And now I got a stinking tree. We're not even in Florida. Where did my decorations go? I'm just here to tell you, I'm not going to make a big deal about it. Why? Because there are much more important things to preach and teach and share than the nuances or the preferences of the day. Friend, I'm here to tell you what the psalmist is talking about was he rescued him. He redeemed him. He helped him. And the psalmist is going to write a song and say, guess what? He is my delight. He is my dependence. It's my dependence. Okay, so watch this. He says this. He says, the Lord. Now look at it with me. Verse number 2. Is my. You see, there's praise for a personal Savior. A lot of things in life that is ours. We claim it. Now listen, just listen. We all pay, you ready for this? If you work a job, we pay what is called taxes. Yeah, told you it's going to be dark. Let's talk about taxes. And then tax season rolls around. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Have 5 kids, tax season is a dream, friend. We're rolling right now. Tax season goes around. Finally, Tommy, cha-ching, Lois, cha-ching, Lena, cha-ching, Nora, cha-ching. I mean, it's like, brrr. You ever use TurboTax? You watch that little number up there? It's in the red. Put the kids in. Brrr. It's like it's literally like the price is right. Then when they spin that wheel, I feel like every time I'm hitting the dollar, baby. Yeah. Bob Barker be proud of this man right here. But tax season comes around. and we're all doing our part in paying taxes. But here's what we do. We don't want to pay it out, do we? We want to keep as much as we can. Are you with me? Say amen. This is not a Republican Democrat, you know, well, our governor. No, I'm just telling you, we all pay our taxes. Now watch. We want to keep as much as we can. Why? Because it's our money. The cars out in this parking lot, whose is it? You drove it in? Who owns it? You say, well, the bank. No. It's yours. But who gave you the ability to work to buy that car? The Lord. See, isn't it amazing that we get so possessive? My car, my money. It's sad in some churches that some people think that the seat they sit in is my seat. In fact, brother, it's kind of weird seeing you over here. Somebody took your seat over here. Kind of weirding me out here. Kind of look over like, well, we changed the auditorium? This is odd. I feel like it's off balance here. Like I got a sneeze that's not coming out. And my head's going to readjust here in just a moment. But I'll tell you, it's my seat, my parking spot, My piano, my organ, my pulpit, my. Do you know what David's saying here? He's saying that God is mine. Why? Because he had a relationship with him. Church, do you know him? Do you know him? You see, in just a couple of moments, we're going to walk in here during an invitation. And we're going to walk up here, and I don't know if you've heard, but I get quiet. You can kind of hear the water that's stirring up there. I'm going to take two identical twins that are my daughters, and I'm going to baptize them. But let me be very clear. That water has zero, nothing to do with their salvation. Nothing. If God were to come back and we were to hear the trumpet sound, do you know that those two little five-year-olds would be called up into the clouds with him? Nothing. Well, I heard once that if you're baptized, then it says, let me just tell you something, friend. If somebody's teaching you that you need baptism to be saved, it's false, they're lying, it's not biblical, it goes against the very word of God. Let me put it this way. Two five-year-olds, soon to be six here in another month, two five-year-olds know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Do you know him? Well, are you comparing me to a five-year-old? No, I'm saying that there will be many a people in hell that will try to make salvation so complex when God says it's a childlike faith in him. Do you notice that today, now listen, I'm almost done, but please don't shut your Bibles just yet. Watch out. Do you know that today, I did not say, are you a good person? Maybe you are, maybe you're not. I think it's relative of how we feel. I'm a good person. I came to church today, didn't I? I came and I was here and I'm going to put money in the box as I make my way out. And I didn't say if you're a good person. Well, Pastor Shepherd, shouldn't we be worried about that? Shouldn't we be worried about whether we're a good person or not? No, understand. We don't work for our salvation. What we do here, we're working because of our salvation. The Bible says this, and I quote, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, have you ever thought about that? Isn't that just like us? Well, look at me. Look what I put in. Look at the offering plate. Look at the car that I drive. Look at the job I have. Look at me. Look at me. Boy, I'm just trying. Look at the kids I raised. Successful. Success. Success. I mean, to be honest with you, if we worked for our salvation, God knows us. We really would exalt ourselves to, I was here the earliest. I came in. This is my seat. I paid for this wing. I did. Therefore, when I get to heaven, boy, God's just going to be so pleased with this guy. You know, let's just be honest with you. It's not about us. It's all about him. And to see him face to face one day, you must put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Teenager, do you know him? Friend, do you know him? Now, watch very carefully. I'm done. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, friend, we want to see you saved today. Well, you're just all about numbers. Yeah, I am. I knew it. I'd like to see as many people saved as I can. Now, let me put it this way. If you're here today and you'd be embarrassed to come down front, I'm going to do this for the Having. Do you mind you and your wife just staying up right where you're at? Just staying up right where you're at, just for a moment. Pastor Dan, would you stand up, you and your wife, just right where you're at? LaShawn, you and your wife, just right where you're at. Carrie, can you stand up, just right where you're at? I'm looking at overflow here. Brother Habing, you and your wife, could you stand up over here? Ethan, would you stand up, just right back there? Yeah, just listen. You can't see the overflow. Got a college student right over here. Ethan, be glad to take the word of God, would you not, and share with you. If you're in the overflow, you're over here, you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. This couple right here, you find during the invitation. They're right there. They're standing up. If you're a single lady in here today and you'd like to talk to somebody, my wife, I tell you what, brother, Sunday school teacher, would you please stand? Sorry, Brother Ryan. Would you stand up? Heather, you and, can y'all stand up for just a moment? Carrie, sit down. Carrie has to get our kids ready for baptism. Right here's a couple. Right here's a couple. Right here's a couple. Right here's a couple. Justin, why don't you stand up? Pastor Blake, you and Miss Charlotte, stand up. Look, I could go all the way around the room. Gloria, Josh, would you stand up? You stand up. But Jim, why don't you and your wife go ahead and stand up? Earl, can you stand up? Miss Laura, can you stand up? Pastor Chris, you'll be leading. Just stay seated. Pastor Defoe, would you and Mrs. Defoe please stand up? Brother Gary, can you and your wife please stand up? Hughes. Understand this. Anyone that you see standing up right now would be honored to take a Bible and share with you how you could be saved. Amen. Christian, don't be thinking right now, how come you didn't call me? No, no, you're missing it. Why don't we be praying right now, God, the soul that's not saved, let him get help today. There are 200 more in this room that I could call that would stand up all over this room. We'll be glad to take you into a side office. My office is open. Anyone can go into my office, use the couches in there, anyone. We want to see you know the Savior that we know. Because he is a good, good God. Friend, there's like 8 different analogies, illustrations that are given of what God is to us. We haven't even got there yet. That's how good he is to us. I'm going to ask us as families today, how many do this? Now look, we're not bowing heads, closing eyes, say, Pastor, this is awkward. Well, let's go with it for a minute. Just, hey, listen, we can change things up. We don't have to be so, just go by a schedule. Let's change it up. Just for a moment. How many know of one person, personally, maybe they're not here, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a person we talk to, how many know one person specifically, God put it just on your mind right now, one person that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Would you be willing to raise your hand just for a second? My hand's raised all over. Now, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Just go ahead and raise it. Just keep it up for just a moment. Wow. Now, everybody, keep it up. Keep it up. Everybody look around for just a moment. Do you not see hundreds of hands raised? Church, when's the last time we stepped out and we came and we said, God, let him get saved before it's eternally too late. God, give me an opportunity. Friend, I'm going to ask you today, would you slip out? And let's come together. And let's get around this old altar here. And let's give that name. Because we know him. Now let's not be selfish. Let's go tell this world about him.